Good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We're the one, 95.1 FM, and in September, celebrating 50 years in Northfield. September 27th, 1968. Who would have ever thunk, huh? Well, the sun, I always like to talk about the sun at this time of the year. It's just creeping over the Northfield Library right now and just beaming into our studios. It's going to be a beautiful today. And if you see somebody walking around with what you think might be, a dirty forehead, well, don't forget that today is Ash Wednesday. A lot of people go to church, get that blessing. Last night, a lot of people celebrated in New Orleans. It was Fat Tuesday, and people down there have had a blast in the French quarters. And by the way, I want to give a shout-out to the street department, TJ, Heinrichsen, and all the guys that work so hard. I see we have new banners up that say Northfield, a historic community. They have to change those several times a year, and it's a lot of work. Well, let's get to my guest this morning. I've been looking forward to this, and I want to say good morning, Dan. How you doing, Mr. Stoles? This is a Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's to you too, Wayne. Proud and privileged to be here as always.
Well, number one, you're a very, very busy man. Mm-hmm. And number two, you've been on my show several times.
Yes.
And number three, I want to hear all about the Super Bowl and the St. Paul Winter Carnival, which was extended. You've been very involved in the Winter Carnival. You've been the King Boreas. Have you ever been a Vulcan?
I have, you know, Wayne, I've done a lot of characters for Winter Carnival, but not on the red side. I have never been a Vulcan. I know you have a kind of a love for the red side, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I sure do. Dan here and I, when we first met, was when he was the Commodore for the Minneapolis Aquatennial. And, of course, Carolyn Meyer of Northfield, Ambassador Scholarship Program, was the Queen of the Lakes. And so you traveled all over with her. And the last time I had you in studio, you and Carolyn were seated there, and I was just totally out of it. And I ended up going to the hospital the next day and ended up in Rochester for 10 days. I had blood poisoning. Then I had to have infusion for like 45 days. A trip to the hospital every day.
Wow.
But so hopefully that's not going to happen this time, Dan.
No, you look a lot better today too, Wayne.
I would have to because I know I was almost on the floor when, and I said, you know what? I'm not being professional. The show must go on, and I am so glad that I had you and Carolyn here because you carried the show.
No, but I remember that day. I remember you were coughing. I remember you were not doing – you were not the normal Wayne Eddy, and I remember that day as well, and I remember texting you every day when you were in Rochester just to make sure you were doing okay, and you're looking great, I got to tell you.
Well, I got to tell you, I saw you on television.
Oh.
And I know you do advertising for your company, which is called Spire Credit Union.
Yes.
And there's something I can't forget to talk to you about it in regards to that. But you got this oil that you've got... A little truck, that's what you drive in the commercial.
Exactly, Wayne, and that's going to be my gift for you today. But, it's always such a privilege and honor to be with you, Wayne. You are a pro, and from the Twin Cities, when you said, Dan, will you join me here in February, I said, I absolutely have to do it. It's always a privilege and honor just to catch up with you and speak to your great audience out here.
So here we go.
Yeah.
The St. Paul Winter Carnival, and I forgot to bring you something. I was going to bring you a picture of the ice castle when it was at Lake Phelan.
Yes.
And George Latimer gave it to me and signed the back of it. And and it's beautiful. Well, I did not get to see your Winter Carnival. Here's what happened, folks. The Super Bowl, of course, is coming. The St. Paul Winter Carnival, its usual run, extended it by 7 days, I believe.
Yeah, 7 days.
And just all kinds of fun things that were going on. The ice sculptures out at the fairgrounds closed Sunday. And then, of course, you had the slides. And then you had the ice rink. And then you were going to build this beautiful palatial ice castle, and things started to turn sour.
Yes.
And pretty soon this dream fell apart. And then here comes Dan Stolz to the rescue, a hardcore St. Paul and Minneapolis devotee. Yep. And you said, you know, we got to get this done.
Yeah.
So you took on the chairmanship.
Yep.
And I've chaired a lot of projects, but that was a big project. And you went out and got we'll talk about Econo Labs.
Yep.
As the sponsor, major sponsor.
That's right.
And we had an ice castle for all the Super Bowl visitors. And I guess it was just packed.
Yes, yes. No, you know, Wayne, it's a fun story. So the first part I'm going to start out with is your comment there. You know, there was Super Bowl coming to town. Super Bowl was the big buzz. And Minneapolis was getting a lot of the different venues, the shows along Nicollet. And so then St. Paulites really decided, this was a couple years ago, they put together a board called, this sounds really formal, but the Ice Board of Governors. That sounds pretty formal. I was not in that first group, and they were going to build a $10 to $15 million ice palace and record ice palace, and they wanted to do it down by the Capitol grounds, right by the Capitol building. And you know what? Quite frankly, you know, I always say Lombardi had a great quote. He says, you never lose a game, you just run out of time. And I really feel like they just ran out of time. They weren't able to get the funding. And you're right. It came into late October, and then there was this news flash that, guess what? We're not going to have this ice structure in St. Paul, and we're sorry, and everything like that. And there was a real groundswell. I'll never forget it. In November, my phone was ringing off the hook, and people were saying, You know, what's the deal? I mean, Super Bowl's coming in town, St. Paul, Winter Carnival. I mean, this is if there's ever a time. And I just felt really passionate. You know, you and I are Eastsiders, so we're St. Paulites, and we know how important the Winter Carnival is. But, you know, we're going to have a world stage here, Wayne. You know, the Super Bowl people, there are going to be a million plus coming into Minnesota, Twin Cities. So I just felt so passionate that we had to do this. And they put me on the Ice Board of Governors, made me the chairman. And in 3 weeks, we'll kind of get through the different processes, but we had to raise about $800,000 in 3 weeks. And that was kind of probably one of my biggest challenges. I've had some challenges in life, but to raise money for ice cubes to Minnesotans in 3 weeks. But I'm proud to say, you know, the people of St. Paul, you know, all are so passionate about taking the tea out of Kant, and we said we were going to do this. And so we had lots of $25 gifts, lots of $10,000 gifts, but then I was able to work with some key sponsors, and like you said, Wayne, Ecolabs stepped up, and Ecolabs said, we want to be the title sponsor. And then the labor unions, we had lots of labor unions.
Wow.
We had 70 labor unions working with us.
Were they volunteers then?
Yeah, you know, the partial volunteers. They gave back some of their benefits and things just to make it happen.
Union didn't get upset about it?
No, nope. And the union, they wanted to jump in on that as well.
Good.
So, yeah. So, you know, we really had 3 weeks, and it was right around Thanksgiving time, and we raised about $600,000 of that $800,000. And really felt like, you know, that was it. We had 75% of it. Let's do this thing. So then we green-lighted it, and then people got really excited about this thing. So, it's been fun process. It's really been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, to be honest with you, Wayne. There's always, when you're talking about building an ice palace and all the things that go into it. I mean, this thing was a 7-story castle, and, you know, it had over 5,000 blocks. 5,000 blocks, Wayne, if you can imagine, 5,000 ice blocks.
Now, you got the ice off of, was it Green Lake or... help me out on that.
Yes, no, exactly. Okay. So we started the ice out.
Where is Green Lake, by the way? Is there one by Forest Lake?
No, you know, there is a Green Lake up that way, too. This is in Spicer by New London, up in that area on the west side. Yep, in Green Lake is out that way.
How many miles?
You know, I'm going to say it's about 60 miles out of the Twin Cities. Well,
that's a lot of
it is.
Fuel.
It's a lot of fuel, a lot of trucks, and then we had to have a lot of semis. We had to have a lot of people volunteer their you know, their trucking services. But here was the great thing about Green Lake that I learned here in Spicer is that it is probably one of the cleanest and clearest lakes in Minnesota. And I got to tell you, those I didn't realize there's differences between ice blocks, but those ice blocks were beautiful blue and absolutely were so clear, so that when we did put lights behind this thing and really developed it, it was
or one walleyes.
Of, or yes, yes. We, yeah, we did have a walleye in one of them. We'll have to talk about that too. But so but we transported from Green Lake and from, you know, an hour out of the Twin Cities, and I don't remember how many truckloads. Each one of these blocks, Wayne, weigh 500 plus pounds. So I mean, it's a, you know, you've got to have heavy machinery. You've got to have a lot of people volunteering. But yeah, they cut the blocks and shipped them over to the Twin Cities and to St. Paul, and we built it in Rice Park too. By the way, right there with, you know, amongst the Ordway, the Landmark Center, St. Paul Hotel, Hill Library, just a beautiful setting for an ice palace.
Well, my wife made a trip there, and she takes pictures with the defeat of Jesse James Day's ambassadors. It's a scholarship program. It's not a beauty contest.
That's right.
And you know that more than I.
Yep.
So anyhow, when you are there people that do that for a living, cut ice off of lakes?
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot through this process. There is a group, I think they're called We Cut, and that's actually what they do. They literally cut, they have the equipment to cut ice, and then they have like a trolley system, you know, made out of wood that literally will move the ice into the trucks, and they've got certain equipment, but there's a group of individuals that's all they do for festivals or for events. They literally, that's all they do is cut ice.
Were they the ones that supplied the ice for the sculptures?
Yeah, no, that's a good question too. Yeah, they supply all the huge blocks for the ice sculptures. You know, what, you know, sometimes in these things too, it's about timing, it's about luck, if you want to put it. I don't really believe in luck, but this year was just the perfect year to build it, because the last two winters, Wayne, they were going to do some kind of smaller features in Rice Park, and quite frankly, it was too warm. So they were using what I call restaurant blocks, which aren't as strong and as pretty and would melt faster. So the last two winters were actually not ideal for an ice palace. This year we had that cold weather, and the blocks held really well. And that was my biggest concern, Wayne. Now you get this, you raise all the funds, you get all the blocks there. Now all of a sudden you just don't want 40-degree days. And there was one day in there when it was 45, and I was pacing by that crazy ice palace every hour, and it was dripping. It was, you know, and you worry about that
Sure.
You know, because you don't want to do that and then have to tear it down. One of the fun facts about an ice palace, Wayne, is that as they build this 7-story structure, and then we had like 7 or 6 different towers, they put reflectors in every other block. And as they're building it, these reflectors are up there. And every morning, safety engineers come out there and they take their lasers and they shoot those reflectors every morning just to make sure that there's no creep or you know, that these things are leaning in any way. And like I said, we had one day above, you know, 32 degrees. Other than that, it was, you know, really cold, and that thing really was solid. But that one day, I have to tell you, I sweated out literally watching that thing dripping.
And one of the things that crosses my mind is if you go to somebody and say, you know what, we'd like to have you buy a portion of the ice palace, and they'd say, well, that's just throwing money away. It's going to melt and be done with and for a short period of time.
Yeah.
You have to go into salesmanship mode, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, 100%, Wayne, you get that. So, you know, and I got to tell you, it is, you know, from a standpoint, is it's a structure that's going to be up for 3 weeks. But here's the deal, is that it's all about community. It's all about building community. It's all about bringing people together. And the one objective, when I said yes to this, I said it had to be two things. It had to be family friendly, and it had to be free. Because what was happening was with the Super Bowl activities, everything costs so much. Yeah, you could go to concerts, you could go to events, but you have to pay $100. You have to pay, and a family of four couldn't afford things. So we said, if we're going to do this, we need people to underwrite it and build it so that people can come out and just enjoy it, bring a family of six, and it costs them nothing. And we had, Wayne, here's the deal. We weren't sure about the crowds. Our very first night when we did the lighting ceremony, we had over 10,000 people in Rice Park. The police were complaining about traffic, and I said, that's a good thing, right? I mean, we had so many people in St. Paul. When it's all said and done, we had over 500,000 people in Rice Park in St. Paul during this time. We were on the covers of the Pioneer Press, Tribune. We were on L.A. Times on the Sunday, did a feature on travel, and we were on the front page of the L.A. Times.
Cool.
We were on national. It was good for the community. So that's really what it was. It was, yes, it was a nice palace, but it was about community, right?
Well, yes, it is, and I have to say that you probably are more humble than I am, and when you respond to my questions, that's just great. But I read an article, and they talked to somebody from maybe either the City of St. Paul Chamber of Commerce or the Winter Carnival media lady or whatever, and I'm reading this article, and I'm going, hey, wait a minute, Dan Stoltz is the chairman of this project, And this other person seemed to be showered with thank yous. I can't remember her name or don't know what position she has, but I kind of felt bad. You know, you're the chairman. You did all that work, and this lady, of course, did a nice job representing the Winter Carnival. But like I say, I only took my wife took pictures when she brought the ambassadors up there. Was there an entry and you walked through a maze of sort? And was there music and were there guides? How did that work?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Wayne. You know, the great thing about it was is that we had, during the day, of course, the park was open, people could observe it, and we had like a little courtyard. Now, this was a little bit of a different palace. Here's a fun fact for you, Wayne. Winter Carnival's been around for 100, this is our 132nd year.
Wow.
You know, longest running festival in the United States. So this is a pretty cool, pretty long running festival. Out of that 132 years, this was the 37th Ice Palace. So it started in 1886. So that was the very first Ice Palace. But some of these 36 or 37 Ice Palaces, literally, you could walk in. And you could walk in, and they would charge admission, things like that. Because of the shortness of time and how we had to build this thing so quickly, we built it in such a way that you could really get up close and touch it, feel it. There was a courtyard in there. But this was a different one where you couldn't, like, walk on the inside of it. And we really wanted, because, again, it was a tall structure for safety reasons, things like that. So the people could get up close, take pictures. And then, like you said, Wayne, you know, the beautiful thing about these structures is at night when you can light them up. And we had the company that just went over the top and put it to music. So we had to flip the switch every night at 5:30 down at Rice Park. And then I would generally kind of host that and just, you know, kind of do a countdown, and we'd light that up. And then throughout the night, it was lit up all the time. But then we would put it to music throughout the night. So at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And so we just had a lot of songs to music. And this thing was just unbelievable. The pictures, the social media. You know, Wayne, social media is obviously the big thing, obviously, right there. We've had over 3 million hits and views of people watching this palace from around the United States. I mean, that's what this was all about, was showing the world that we embrace cold, we have fun with cold. And this is what we're all about.
Now, did you happen to have an opportunity to see people with media badges that made the trek all the way from Minneapolis, which takes about 15 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, it always disappoints me when I know Minneapolis and Hennepin County are being taxed for that beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium. And when they do the Super Bowl and Viking games, you know, I don't know why they don't show the skyline of St. Paul and the cathedral and the Capitol, and in this case, the Ice Castle.
Yeah.
You know, it's only a trek of 10, 15 minutes, and they're here for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you know, it is funny, Wayne. So, you know, you mentioned it. One of the privileges and honors that I had is I served King Boreas in 15. on St. Paul's side. And then I went to the other side and went to Aquitennial for Minneapolis. Got to be honest with you. I had a lot of St. Paulites that were quite upset that I went to that other side. And I'm going, wait a minute. Oh, were you one of them?
Well, no, yeah. You when I first heard it,
yeah,
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it, really?
Well, you did such a great job with the Winter Carnival and represented St. Paul. Yeah. And you're from Johnson High School, the east side. I went to Harding, and we were foes.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm way ahead of you in reference.
No.
Well, I graduated in 60. You graduated in 78.
Yeah, wow, good memory, 78. Yeah, I graduated early when I was 10 years old.
Okay. So what were the responses? How did you nullify that distraction about you being on the Minneapolis side?
Well, you know, I think it's the same with, like, the Ice Palace. But, you know, we've got to drop kind of that river barrier piece. And we're Minnesota. We're all together. Northfield's a part of Minnesota. This is all about community. And I will tell you, Wayne, I really do believe that the Ice Palace did bring some of that, those two sides of the cities, because what was very interesting, there was actually an article yesterday on this, that the Ice Palace was unbelievably successful from the standpoint of drawing people from the state and drawing people from Minneapolis. We had Justin Timberlake, as you know, who did Halftime. We had spotters out there at the Ice Palace. We had many celebrities, Fallon.
What do you mean spotters?
You know, so we had people literally out in front of the Ice Palace that we had huge security, because in this day and age you have to have security. But then we actually had some people that had cameras ready looking for celebrities. So if Wayne Eddy would have shown up, we would have taken your picture, Wayne, in front of that. So we had national people, we had local people, we had celebrities. You know, I mean, baseball people. We had Dave Winfield there. We had Joe Mauer out there.
Central High School, Creighton High School.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I went to school when I went to Central. You know, I went to a bunch of schools.
Yeah, you're a Minuteman, right? Isn't that what they
call
it?
Well, I went out for track,
okay,
and I was an hour man.
Good one, Wayne. I like it.
Thank you. But Winfield was right in that era when I went there. He may have been in school at the same time I was.
I have
to find that out.
Yeah, no, but you know, so we had a lot of those people. You know, you talk about challenges. The other piece that was pretty pricey in this Ice Palace, Wayne, it's just a different era, a different time. But we had to have a tremendous amount of security. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, you just have to have people that are always, you know, we had security 24/7. I mean, so we had people around the clock, middle of the night, just ensuring that everybody stayed safe. No one did anything kind of crazy. You know how that is. And people, yeah. it's just
drive a truck through it.
Exactly, you know. Right. And try to get news and do something.
Yeah. Now, were these volunteers or were they on the payroll?
Yeah, these were on the payroll.
Oh, boy, yeah. That had to cost a fortune.
It was, Wayne. A lot of this stuff, you know, you don't realize, you know, whether it's, you know, traffic control, whether it's security, whether it's, you know, all the stuff that it entails. Building a castle is more than just putting blocks on top of each other. There's just so much more to it. But I got to tell you, St. Paul shined. I believe Minnesota shined. I believe Minneapolis did. But, yeah, there's still this, you know, this gap in them versus us, and I don't understand it, you know. But so, yeah, when I went on the Commodore side, actually, my blessing there is, my big shout-out, can I do a shout-out, Wayne?
Sure.
So, you know, the reason I'm sitting in Northfield is because my Queen of the Lakes, when I was Commodore, was your very own Carolyn Meyer, and I would never have gotten to know that great family. I would have never have gotten to know Northfield as close as I did. I knew your wife, Julie, who does such a great job with Northfield and the ambassadorship and the scholarship program. But literally, my Queen of the Lakes in 1617 was Carolyn Meyer. So we were in this town a lot. And I look at that, and I would have never have met this great family, the Meyer clan, and Brenda, and Scott, and Abby, Sister Abby. You know, it's all about community. It's all about really encouraging one another, and it's not a them versus us. And let's have some pride about Minnesota, and let's have some pride about really just improving lives, and that's kind of what it was about.
Were you involved with the Winter Carnival when Abby was Queen of the Snows?
You know, it's funny you say that because, yeah, your very own Abby came in. She was 14 Queen of Snows, and I came as Boreas 15, so I came the year after her.
Okay.
But I watched her, and again, she represented Northfield so well. I got to tell you, Wayne, there's something in your coffee or water here in Northfield. So from empowering women and women in leadership, you had Abby, who was the Queen of Snows in 14. You have Carolyn Meyer, who was Queen of the Lakes for Aquitaine, 16, 17. Then your most current Queen of the Lakes, Vanessa Gonzalez, is from Northfield. That is unheard of. I don't know if Northfield understands how unbelievable that is. I mean, with Aquitaine, you have 50 plus strong women in leadership, young women that are really kind of competing for the scholarship, and it's more about how they are as a person, as a leader. And your town has just produced some unbelievable women in leadership, and they need to be really proud about that.
And Carolyn will be graduating soon, I think.
Yes.
And she is going into sports broadcasting. And when I watch the lady reporters on the sidelines and now the Olympics and all that, I always picture, how is she going to wear her hair? And there, folks, if you don't know, Carolyn Meyer has blondish hair.
Yep.
And it's tight. The curls are just tight.
Yep.
And one time I saw a picture of her when she had it straightened.
Yeah.
And I'm going, holy cow. I mean, but that you had it as the Commodore traveling all over Mexico, Canada, Rose Bowl with her. I imagine the hair was something that she had to deal with all the time.
All the time. You know, the truth be told is she's got straight hair, and she curls it every morning. But no. I don't know if that's true.
No, that's not true. Her hair is natural.
Okay, all right. I have to give her a tease on that one. But, yeah, so it's funny you say that. You know, Carolyn's hair, you know, you've got that the tight curls, you know. And so in Carnival, you always say Hail Boreas or Hail the, you know, Prime Minister, Hail the Guard. But it was Hail the Queen, Hail Carolyn, because of all of her hair. And they said Hail the Hair. That's where it ended up being Hail the Hair. So I had to hear that everywhere I went was Hail the Hair. So, yeah, no, I was so proud and privileged to be with her. And you know, here's the deal with the Meyer family is you got a break?
Yep.
Okay, I'll come back on that.
Meyer family.
Okay, I got Meyer family. I'm coming back to
them. Your responsibility to remember that.
All right, I got it, Wayne.
My responsibility is to remember the QB, the quarterback club right here in Northfield, where they have the best flame-broiled burgers, the only one in town. Oh. They have these baby-back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over those ribs in a very, very special sauce. That's where I was going to take you to lunch.
Oh, next time, though.
Okay.
Please.
And they have roasted chicken. That is so good. And, folks, if you are busy and you want to have a good meal, go to the QB. Call ahead if you'd like. You can get the coleslaw with it and the french fries. And it's just a wonderful place to go. They're serving breakfast until 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday. So you have just a little bit less than a half hour to get in for breakfast.
It's the Troll Hug and Troll coming to you live from Dresser, Wisconsin, just a few miles south of St. Croix Falls. Have you ever said, I'd love to ski or snowboard, but I don't know how? Come to Troll Huggin'. We have lessons for humans of all ages. Ski and snowboard classes can even be for free. See our website for all details. Come and enjoy the best fun you'll have all winter. And go troll!
Learn to ski or snowboard at Troll Huggin'. Classes for all ages and skill levels are available. Visit online at trollhuggin.com for details.
When you work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
And I'm here. Hello, everybody. 9:32 on 1080 Radio. And the sun is way above the library now. Still a little bit sunny in the studios. My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Dan Stoltz. And he is the president and CEO of Spire Credit Union. You may have seen his commercials on television. He only advertises in the news programs. You don't advertise in those Jerry, what's his name?
Springer?
Jerry Springer.
Yeah. No, you know, actually, we throw him in every once in a while other places, but I don't think Jerry Springer. You still respect me, right, Wayne?
Okay. The Meyer family from Northfield, Minnesota. The parents of Carolyn Meyer, queen of the lakes.
Yes, yes. So here's the deal. I mean, one of the privileges and honors of giving back, and I just, you know, to all your people that are listening as far as volunteerism, you know, when you give back, you meet people. And I just love learning from people, listening to people. But the Meyer family, you know, Scott, Brenda, and then they have two girls, they're twins, Abby and Carolyn. Carolyn was the one I served the year with. But I'm just talking about a family that is just off the charts, unbelievably humble, love to give back, love this community of Northfield, do everything to build it. And I just count it a privilege and honor to say now that they're a family that I know very well, that are friends. And now I feel like Northfield is like my home away from home. I got to tell you, it's because of that family. And then I also, because of a wife by the name of Julie Eddy, I don't know if you know her, but she runs a phenomenal program here in Northfield, the Defeat of Jesse James Days. When I first came in, Wayne, I always said Jesse James Days. And boy, I got corrected by Julie, everybody, Carolyn. I've learned now it's Defeat of Jesse James Day. You're celebrating that defeat. But you run the best festival. It's the people that come, the acting that you do out on the street, the parade, the event, and then your coronation, and it's always a sellout. You guys just do such a great job here. You're the template. You're the gold standard here. Really.
Did you watch me flip on subjects?
That's all right.
Thank you very much. And that's they're well deserved, that ambassador program.
Yes.
And the Defeated Jesse James Day committee.
Yes.
Were you disappointed that when Stillwater built an ice castle?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Stillwater is kind of a for-profit group that does like ice structures, and they did an ice palace or ice structure, I'll call it. And so they do it a little bit differently. They do it by spraying and then building on a spray, so it's more icicles and things like that. And I wasn't disappointed that they did it. I was just disappointed that St. Paul, as that represents Winter Carnival, didn't have their own. And I'm all for competition, if you want to call it that way. I had no problems with it. But it would have been a shame, Wayne, if Stillwater would have had this ice structure that you would have to pay to go to, and we didn't have ours in St. Paul.
Okay.
And that was something that I was super passionate about, is we needed to have one.
Were the lights on the Rice Park Palace, were they embedded inside the ice blocks, or were they shown, lights were shown on them, or whatever you say?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, the lighting company and the technology that they use was just unbelievable. So when they built these towers, Wayne, the 7-story tower, and they had 6 other ones that were maybe like 5 stories, they built these towers with scaffolding, and they were hollow inside, so that the ice structures were kind of built around the scaffolding. So then they climbed the scaffolding and put all these lights all the way up into the top of the towers. And then they had some lights that were kind of projecting onto it, and then they had some that were inside the towers. And then, you know technology, then they had a person that literally wrote music to sound, and they were sitting about 30 yards away in a trailer, and they would push the button, and they had this massive, computer screen like you had, and it was unbelievable, the show. But that, you know, it had the Disney effect, you know? It kind of had that Disney wow effect, and it was fun. But the lights were inside on that scaffolding. And actually, Wayne, today is the 14th, isn't it? Wednesday, they're tearing down the castle as we speak.
Oh.
Yes, we had to, the last day was Saturday, this last Saturday, and then they took the scaffolding, lights down on Monday and Tuesday. And then today, Wednesday and Thursday, it has to be literally
is
out
this,
of there.
Today it's supposed to reach 40. Is that beneficial for them?
That is, because as they start peeling away those blocks, because what happened is when they did have that melt, you're talking about 7 stories of melting. All of a sudden, then when it refroze in the night, that whole structure got even stronger, as you can imagine. Hey, here's my fun fact, Wayne, about building this ice palace. So when they were building it, they would put a 500-pound block. The labor unions would, you know, get it all leveled and everything like that. Then what they did is they took ice melt that you use on sidewalks, and they would then sprinkle ice melt on top of each of these blocks and then lay the next block on top of it. And then see that ice melt would melt the ice just for a brief moment. And then literally as they put the blocks on top, then it would refreeze. And that was kind of like the mortar that kind of held these things together. Yeah, I thought that was kind of a fun fact to see them, you know, how they put these things on top.
Yeah, because you wonder, you put it on a block of ice and then it's slippery.
Yes.
And, you know, how do you keep them?
So it's pretty cool. So they used the ice
block. Making those spires, that had to be pretty chiseling fun.
Hey, I like that you use the word spire, too, by the way. But yes, we had spires and towers.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You know, the spires were really important because this palace was different than most. The other palaces were more horizontal. They were more longer and smaller, so you could walk in them. They're kind of a maze. This one was very tight and more vertical. And so when you think about it, it was a tougher structure to build. But it was all very tall, but it was super spectacular. You know, the fun thing is when you know St. Paul, Rice Park is going through a whole new renovation this summer. And it was the 1 year, this is where it worked out so perfectly, it was the 1 year we could build this ice palace in Rice Park because they're going to redo everything. So we'll never, ever be able to build an ice palace in Rice Park ever again because it's going to get renovated, new trees, everything. And so we could literally build this structure. It was so big, Wayne. Semstone's a big, I think they're an employer. I mean, I think they got a place.
We have a plant here.
Yes, yeah. And I saw one driving out on the way. Well, a very good friend of mine runs Semstone.
What's his name?
Thor Becken and Tom Becken.
Okay.
The Becken family. And anyways, they gave to be a part of this. They were a big sponsor, but they had to pour a cement foundation in Rice Park because the structure was so tall. And it had so much weight on it that we couldn't just put it on land. We had to actually put a foundation, foundation.
The work
on
that
this.
Goes into that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that came to my mind is if you were to stand on the north side of the south side of the castle.
Yeah.
And with your back to the river.
Yes.
And you take a picture, you got that beautiful landmark building behind it. And they just kind of worked together in that photo.
Exactly. You know, it's funny you say, Wayne, so most people came from the north and looked at it from the north with the library behind it. But honestly speaking, the photographers found a way to go on the south side and actually caught the palace with the landmark behind it. Yeah. And it's, you're 100%, you caught that. The photographers said they felt that picture was really spectacular.
Oh, the landmark is just beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Now,
beautiful.
Did you get a room at the St. Paul Hotel?
You know, I did. I actually did. Both of the front weeks and back weekends. And you're right, Wayne. You know, Winter Carnival is usually a 10-day festival. But with Super Bowl right there in the middle, it really became a 17-day festival. So Winter Carnival was week one. Week two, then we stopped Winter Carnival. And then week three, we took on Carnival. So weekend one and weekend three, I did stay in the St. Paul Hotel overlooking Rice Park. Kind of sentimental because, you know, this palace was a fun project, but yeah, I just wanted to enjoy it.
When did you book that?
You know, fortunately, I know the owner of St. Paul Hotel, so it really worked out well. And he participated in the funding as well with the Ice Palace, so that worked out really well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it must have been a packed place.
It was.
Yeah, and Julie took the ambassadors up there, along with Shelley Brady.
Yes.
And they could not find a parking place anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they could not find a ramp that was open.
Yes.
So Julie just dropped off the ambassadors and Shelley, and then they went and did the pictures and ran into you, I believe.
Yes.
And so we're going to take another break.
Okay, Wayne, I got
surprise questions for you coming up.
Okay.
Okay, stand by. My guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Dan Stoltz. He is the CEO and president of Spire Credit Union, with offices across the Twin Cities. We'll be right back.
Hey, fellas, are you having a difficult time finding that special something for that special someone this Valentine's Day? Why not get her a gift certificate from Anna's Closet and let her pick out that special something? Ladies, want to treat yourself to a pre-Valentine's Day outfit? Anna's Closet in Northfield is the place to do it, now offering a special treat and a special gift for you through Valentine's Day while supplies last. Anna's Closet in downtown Northfield, where if you are confident, you are beautiful.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
17 minutes, and every one of those is before the hour of 10 a.m. on KYMN Radio. And Dan Stoltz is my guest here on KIM, and there are several things I want to talk to you about. One of them is personal, and the other one is about millennials, and the other one I don't have written down. It's in my head. And I asked Julie to forward a piece of Facebook that you had posted yesterday or the day before, and I can't find it anywhere on my phone.
Okay.
So I can't speak directly to it with some knowledge, but I can. I know you're going to, if it's okay, you tell me.
Yeah.
You did something last year that the Northfield Ambassadors attended, along with Julie, and you sponsored this thing for your business, the
yes.
Aspire Credit Union, and you have you're having another one coming up shortly.
Yes.
And can I tell them what you do at the end of it? But
yeah.
Then you can fill in on what you do.
Yeah. No, I love that, Wayne.
Okay.
For sure.
I am absolutely amazed. You hold this place where?
You know, so this year it's going to be in Eden Prairie at Grace Church.
Okay.
Yes.
And last year it was at?
It was same place, and we had over 3,500 there last year.
Now, listen to this, folks. Everyone in attendance that walked out after this presentation received an envelope with $25 cash in it. I have never heard of that before, and it's basically for your employees, but you do invite others and a lot of your clients that are customers. Mm-hmm. Did you come up with that idea, or is that some – I mean, I can't imagine Wells Fargo doing that.
You know, Wayne, thanks for throwing that out, because it's actually this Saturday, so on the 17th at 2 o'clock. You know, first of all, it was one of those things. I don't come up with too many creative ideas, but it was one of those things where we are required as a credit union to do like an annual meeting, and they become so boring and so stoic, and we would have like 100 people come. It was one of those things, and every credit union does it. Over 6,000 credit unions do it in the United States that way. I just said, you know what? We believe in our product, and we want to give back as far as a inspirational speech. So we came up with this idea of 1 hour meeting, and we have a program or a special speaker in there. I do a little bit of inspirational, and everybody that attends, whether you're a customer or not, we invite everybody that we know, and we give everybody $25 cash when they walk out the door.
Two tens and a five, or 20 and a five?
20 and a five. And
who gets to stuff those envelopes?
Yeah, you know, I have my accounting department that literally they hate this week, because they will stuff those and get those things ready. But Wayne, put this in perspective. We're expecting 4,000 plus on Saturday, and I can't wait. 4,000 people times.
Is that considered a church?
Yeah. So this, you know, this is actually like a community center, because actually Eden Prairie High School does their graduation there. So it's the one place that we could find that could fit 5,000 plus people. And so, yeah, at this place at Grace here in Eden Prairie, we're going to have over 4,000 people. Now, think of this, Wayne. Easy math. 4,000 people times $25. We're going to give out in that 1 hour when people are walking out, we're going to give over $100,000 to people when they're walking out. I mean, Dayton, the governor should give me, I mean, he should send me a thank you card for boosting the economy, right? But it's one of those where, you know, this year what we're going to do, Wayne, for entertainment is kind of fun. They're going to do a 20-minute show in this 1 hour. By the way, I say this only can be 1 hour. I mean, if you can't say it in an hour, you shouldn't say it. That's my philosophy. So it's a 1 hour meeting, 2 to 3 o'clock. There's going to be a 20-minute program. We're going to have a group called Circus Juventus, kind of like Circus Soleil, like you might see in Vegas and other places. But in Highland Park, there's a group of high school, junior high kids that they train to do acrobatics and things like that. They are going to be the show. So people pay to watch this group. At my meeting, you come, you get to watch them, and you get paid $25. That's unbelievable.
Now, you had a very inspirational speaker last year.
Yeah. No, it was great. We had and she's become a great friend. Her name is Elena Nichols, and she's handicapped from the waist down. She had a skiing accident going for the Olympics, and she fell. She did a flip, and she fell on a rock, Wayne. And she went to the hospital and then found out that she was paralyzed from the waist down. Her story is amazing. So when we think we have some tough stuff, her story is that she picked herself back up, and she said, you know what? I love sports. So now she's like a four-time Olympic gold medal champion for the Paralympics for basketball. And then she does skiing on this apparatus that's amazing. And she's phenomenal. So her whole story is never give up. And sometimes life throws us curveballs. And we all have curveballs, without a doubt. But it's what you do with those curveballs that counts. And she brought tears to a lot of people's eyes. She's become a great friend of mine. I talk to her often. But it's those kind of people that are inspirational that kind of encourage all of us to keep on keeping on. And when life kind of gets us a little bit, you know what? We can soak in that for a little bit. But, man, we're so blessed. We really are, Wayne, you know?
Well, when Julie and my wife came home from that event, and she took the ambassadors because of the inspirational speeches, and you're an inspirational guy, and with guidelines on how to be successful, yep. I was under the impression that it was for women. Mm. And it's for everybody, because you have both men and women that do business at your Spire Union Credit.
Yep.
But I just never heard of going to a one-hour meeting that, number one, sticks to 1 hour.
Yeah.
Number two, has entertainment for a third of it. And number three, gives me $25 when I leave. And so Julie walked out of there in the car with $100.
Yes, with their ambassadors. And here's the fun thing about it, Wayne. So you get this. It's kind of like the ice.
By the way, the ambassadors got to keep their money.
Yes.
Yeah, not Julie. Okay.
I got that.
Okay.
Here's my two fun facts about that. So typical, you know, St. Paul people like you, Wayne, I was told we can't do that. And because we're regulated, I had to get down to Washington, D.C. and pitch this thing and tell them. They looked at me like, we've never heard of that. I mean, you don't have a meeting and pay people to come. And I said, no, but that's what we want to do, and we want to do it for all ages. And they said, oh, okay, well, it's first time ever. No one's ever done that. We have 6,000 credit unions. Go for it. So we did it. I had to get approval out of D.C. And here's the fun fact. The second fun fact is that there's no age limits. So if Wayne comes with Julie, and let's say you bring three of your grandkids that are 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, all of you get a $25 cash, no matter your age, no matter who you are.
That's crazy. What's the interest on that? Well, that is amazing, and I would imagine that your employees particularly enjoy that. Is there a section that you rope off for your employees?
I do. You know, and I encourage them to bring their families. And there's something in events like this that kind of builds pride. You know, I mean, businesses need to be family friendly, and we need to have. And so this is a chance where they can kind of bring their families, and their families can hear about our company, and we can kind of celebrate together. So it's kind of a cultural thing too. You know, we get a lot of benefit out of it, Wayne. But it is my passion in life is about giving, not getting. And I think when people miss out on the blessing of giving back, and whether it's an ambassador role, whether it's time, talent, or treasures, we all have that. You know, we all have 24 hours in time, so give some of that time back. We got talents. Wayne, you're amazing on this board. I'm terrible, but bring that. You know, everyone's got different talent. Nobody's more talented than anybody else, so give back some of that talent. And then the other T is treasures. You know, we all have money. It's what you do with it. And I say, give some of that back. Find something that you're passionate about and give some of that back.
And that's why I have this piece of paper in my hand.
Oh, really?
It's a minutes from a board meeting I was at yesterday.
Oh, really?
And I won't tell you what it is. I'm just going to talk to you about that. I'm not going to ask for money.
No, okay.
We'll take our final break this hour on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Our guest this morning is Dan Stoltz. He is the president and CEO of Spire Finance. How many offices do you have?
17.
17?
Yeah, 17, Wayne. Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. Is Northfield going to be 18?
We're looking at it, Wayne.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll be advertising right here with you, too, Wayne.
Amen. I send you. We'll take this break, and don't forget, today is Valentine's Day.
This Valentine's Day, thrill your special someone with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries hand-dipped in luscious chocolate and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's gift you can give. Russell Stover is located in Owatonna next to Cabela's, just north of Northwest 26th Street and I-35. They'll have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
Have you ever felt like your business has been tripped up by your bank? Friends in Bank and Trust understands how to be a financial resource for all types of small and large businesses and how to finance them. You might say that we are the best kept secret in business banking. Friends in Bank and Trust, the bank that comes to play.
Contact your local Friends in Bank and Trust office at friendsinbank.com. That's FRANDSEN bank.com.
Member FDIC.
Well, good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and contentment. By the way, I want to give my personal... I want to talk about Jack Thernblad. He passed away this week, 96 years old, former AD at Carleton College and a basketball coach, and just a really nice guy. I used to play cribbage with him up at the Rubenstein when that was open, and he was coming into the Rubenstein. I also caught him at other places and said hello to him. And he's been on my show, and we promoted his book and all that stuff. But the thing that I'll never forget about Jack Thernblad is that he was so well connected to the NCAA and on their board of directors for, I imagine, Division III. But anyhow, everybody knows that the Final Four is one of the sporting events you've got to go to. You got to go to the Indy 500 for sure. You got to go to the Super Bowl for sure. You got to go to Wimbledon for sure. You got to go to the Masters for sure. And you got to go to the Final Four. He invited me to join him, not when it was in Minnesota, it was someplace else. Wayne, why don't you come with me and go to the Final Four? And I said, no, thank you. Basketball is the most nerve-wracking game. If you are really seriously a fan of a team, including high school, this is where it comes from me. It's up and down, back and forth. Then the professionals, of course, they get so many timeouts. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, this one coach, I think, for the Nets, he calls so many timeouts he can retire early.
I like it. I like it, Wayne.
I steal them where I can. But anyhow, Jack Thernblad was a great guy. Great guy. And one of his sons, Ted, Jack said, you go to the Indy 500 all the time, don't you? And I said, yeah. He said, do you think maybe my son Ted could go with you? Ted was about 18 at the time. Yeah. And I said, absolutely. And so he went down to the Indy 500 with me, and we had so much fun. Too much to tell Jack. And I'm years older than him. But now he's, the last I heard, he lives here in Northfield, and he's a mechanic for a very wealthy man that has many cars, and he keeps the fleet running. That's the last when I saw him.
Oh.
So, interesting job, huh?
Yes, and I wish I would have met Jack. Sounds like a really great man.
You would have liked him. Yeah. He was an ambassador.
Wow, that's awesome.
And, yeah. And I bring that up because your colors on your Spire scarf are the same colors as Carleton College and the Knights.
Ah.
And so when I wear that, people say, oh, Carleton fan, because, you know, there's St. Olaf and Carleton,
yeah,
who are you
right
with?
Here. Yeah.
And I go, no, it's my friend Dan. 2.5 minutes before 10 o'clock and all the news coming up on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. Is there anything else that you want to discuss that would be related to the Winter Carnival? We got a couple of minutes till news break, and then we can talk about the millennials and what your thought is. How many employees do you have?
So we have about 300 employees now.
Wow.
Yep, 300 employees. Yeah, so millennials, I'm looking forward to that discussion, because even being an ambassador, Commodore, and King Boreas, a lot of the royal family were millennials, so yep. I've gotten to know them. So, hey, if we're going to wrap up on the Ice Palace, I'll just do, and you give me a thing when you say, Dan, you got to get off. So when I talked about it, Wayne, here's what I did. I used the acronym PALACE. So when I explained to people why we're building it, so the P stands for the people. The people in St. Paul believe in taking the tea out of can, and they wanted this desperately. So that's the P stands for the people. They were the ones that really wanted it and get it done, and that's what inspired me. You know, the A stands for we needed awesome support and awesome sponsors, you know.
Going along with you. I don't know about it.
your head's going that way, yeah. Right? So I needed awesome, you know. Here's the deal is we still are selling a block. Everybody can buy a block for $25 on wintercarnival.com. You get a block that has your name on it, a block number. But, you know, we raised literally money from every state in the United States. People were buying these blocks from Florida, Texas, you know, the each coast side. But that was fun. But then we also needed awesome business supporters. So Ecolab, Fury Motors, Spire stepped up. There was just a lot of great businesses that said, we want to be a part of it. The L stands for legend. You know, the Winter Carnival has this huge history. We talked about 132 years, and this was our time. I mean, we were about the legend of Winter Carnival, so we needed this Ice Palace for that particular reason.
You know what? Pal?
Yes.
That's where we're at. Pal.
Yes, pal.
We'll take the news break.
Oh, yes.
And we'll come back, and we'll do the ant. Yes. Okay, all right. Let me tell you right now, my guest this morning is Dan Stoltz, and he and I both graduated from competing high schools in St. Paul. We learned that the first time he was here. We didn't know it at the time. And this is your radio station, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. We're 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years. And, of course, now 95.1 FM, The One, from Northfield, Minnesota.
NSA shooting, Porter unanswered questions. I'm John Trout. Shots rang out near...